this one too, or just okay. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good. I appreciate the Masons. That's a blessing that you have them saying. I used to read chick tracks against Masons. So this place has changed. You guys were here when I got saved, and it's been 20 years since I got saved. It's a blessing to be here. A lot of those songs, you know, there's a reality of tonight is this, for a lot of us, might be the last time we get to see each other all in one place before we see the Lord. And so maybe the Lord would just, you know, if it's boring, that's on me, but if it's, maybe the Lord will give us like a foretaste of glory divine and speak to your hearts and give you something that I never could. So if you got a Bible, let's go to Matthew chapter number 19. And there's a lot of people who, man, there was a whole bunch of times I haven't fought back that many tears. They were singing, he's singing Closer Walk With Me, and Dwayne used to sing that song. I was thinking that. I hadn't cried. I was like, man, I ain't cried that hard since Flubber. So, you know, right? This guy knows what I'm talking about. So, but we're glad for everybody who made the trip. We just are thankful to you, and just thankful that this is like just a blessing to me, just to get to see people. A lot of people wondering, like, you know, what are you doing? You know, Mike's like, you know, you need an outline. You know, you still preaching? I'm like, what, you wondering from Rusty? it's like, you know, but no, he just cares. People was like, what have you been doing, you know? Just working on Biden's campaign, you know? I don't even like talking about it, you know, but it's not about the campaign. I wasn't really on that, okay? You know, a lot of people, you know, they were worried about all the things that are going to happen. And, you know, I'm not a smart guy. A lot of you who have been around me know that. But, you know, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's like, I'll fear no evil. Amen. Why? Because you're with me. Amen. If that just got real to us a little bit, we're not called to fear evil. A lot of times, have you ever met them Christians that are paranoid? You know, like everything's a devil. You know what I mean? Like, I got pulled over. The devil made me do it, or whatever. And everything's a devil, you know. And I heard this guy say, he said, you know, people say, they hear a bump outside, and they say, oh, the devil's outside. He's like, the devil ain't outside. He's been with you all day with your pride and your lust and your covetousness. And what you need to be afraid of your sin. Go fight that. A lot of times we're afraid of all this spooky stuff. And I'm not trying to underestimate or overestimate. I'm just saying we need to be focusing on that stuff, things we can control. So Matthew chapter number 19. Well, let's just go ahead and get into it so we can just start moving forward. I don't want to take too long. Brother Mike, they wanted me to ask you to turn the televisions on. Derek did.
For real.
Yeah. I'm not preaching right now. I'm telling the truth. Okay. So, all right. Some of you guys seen that movie. You seen that? All right, come on. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You say, where have you been? I've just been getting carnal watching Netflix. No, I'm joking. Disney Plus, can I get a witness? And so, some of you know. So there's this movie that came out a couple years ago. It's called The Greatest Showman. All right, now, I want you to not act like you're in church. I want you to tell the truth. Raise your hand if you saw that movie. Be honest. You can close your eyes if you need to. Some of you get weird about it. Like, I don't believe in secular, you know, music. You watch secular movies and all that stuff. And so I'm not Sweet Home Alabama here or anything like that. But anyway, some of you did, and you're just acting like you didn't. Some of you don't know what's happening. But basically, it's based off a fake story, like the Lifetime movie about me. And so it's P.T. Barnum, the guy who started the circus. And, you know, it's about, you know, the freak shows, and there's some good candidates in here for that. he did this thing, and, you know, in the movie, this guy, he builds himself from the ground up and gets all these odd, you know, odd-looking people. You know, a guy who weighs, you know, 400 pounds and somebody who weighs, you know, is super tall. And anyway, there's this thing in it, and there's a reason why I'm telling you this. in the movie, basically, there's this lady, and she's got a beard, right? Now, that's not by choice, okay? In the movie, she's got this disorder or this illness, and it's, you know, somebody's laughing at that. No, she literally had some things based off of real things. So go ahead and hit the next slide. Now, this is not me. This is... I know I look different since I moved, but she sings this song, and that's what the song's called. And it won, like, you know, the award for movie, you know, song of the year, and a couple years ago. And go ahead and hit the next slide. And so that's the real lady that it's based off of. Okay. Anyway, go ahead and you can put the last one on here. So, but anyway, so that was the song. You know, it's like the pinnacle of the movie, and the lady, you know, she. P.T. Barnum in the movie. There is a point to this, so if you want to judge me and talk to me afterwards, I'll give you my secretary's number, and you can leave a message with my secretary. It's 850. What is it? It's Joe Burkowski's number. Just leave a message with him. So anyway, but in the movie, they get to this part, and the guy P.T. Barnum, the guy who started the circus, he was like, you know, getting big, making money, and then. But the rich people, he can never get them on his side. So he hires this lady from over in England and has her come sing in his thing. And, you know, all the rich people come. And the people who they would consider freaks try to come in to the party where all the rich people are drinking their champagne and all that stuff. And so he's like, oh, no, you can't come in, you know. Because he's like, no, this isn't the place for you. And so this lady starts, you know, singing this song about all the stuff that she's gone through, and, you know, she says one of the lines is, you know, I'm brave, I'm bruised, this is who I'm meant to be. This is me, right? And I don't know if you realize this, but this has been going on for a long time, that the culture is trying to push a narrative on everything about identity and who you are. And, I mean, this is what's happening. I think it says that the men of Gad were wise that they could discern the times or something like that. And we need to understand, if you're trying to go out and reach people, what's happening out there. And the Bible says we don't have to sin, but we, not that they have to become like us, but we need to become all things to all men, that we may by all means gain the more. Now, I know some of you hate that because you don't have a King James, but that's not talking about sinning. We've heard what that verse doesn't mean, right? But it is talking about you have to be able to relate. If they feel like you're speaking Christianese to them, or sometimes the culture and the way that we speak and the way that we act as Bible believers is louder than the gospel. And sometimes they're not put off by Jesus or the Bible or the gospel. Sometimes they're just put off by our mannerisms and how we live and how we act. And we just, it's not that they have a problem with Jesus. They just think that we're weird sometimes. And so what I'm trying to say is, if you want to understand, right, how to reach people, you have to understand the culture, I think, a little bit. Now, you give them the gospel and all those things, and I'm with you. But Jesus was able to reach anybody. Doesn't matter if it's Nicodemus. Doesn't matter if it's the lady in the next chapter who's been married five times and living with a guy. Right? And so if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to be able to reach everybody, not just people who are exactly like us. The Great Commission's all nations, right? Preach the gospel to every creature. And so I'm just trying to help you understand that we live in a culture that is trying to redefine the things that God already has a definition for. We do Bible studies with a lot of people who are unchurched, and we kind of get them in, hopefully get them saved, or if they are saved, we get them plugged into the church. And we had this question in Matthew chapter 19. There's a girl, her name is Janae. She's watching, and if people from Idaho, hey, what's up, everybody? I don't know if they are or not, but it sounded, made me sound more important than I am. But anyway, she came, and I'm going to drink this water a little bit here. But she came one time, and she says, I got a friend, and my friend says she's a Christian, but that she believes in evolution. And so we showed her, look down at Matthew chapter 19. Can I teach a little bit? Is that okay if I just do that? Matthew chapter 19, verse number 3. This is Jesus speaking. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And here we got three things in this passage, real quick I'll tell you. And I think that we'll be on the same page here. God defines here. So Jesus, she said, I'm a Christian. I said, well, in this chapter, we showed her this, and it was basically Jesus defines the two genders. Amen? Yeah. Jesus defines marriage. Amen? 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 Man and woman. Jesus defines creation. Amen? Amen? In the beginning, right? So it's like if she believes evolution, she can't really, she's calling Jesus a liar because Jesus attests to creation here in Matthew chapter 19. And would you guys agree that the culture is kind of attacking those fronts? Can I get amen on that? They're trying to redefine, right, things that God has already set in place, things that are already true. Would you agree? Does that upset you at all? Do you think that there's a battle for that in the culture? Does it rub you the wrong way? Do you think, like, who is it, who has the right to change what God has already set in stone, right? And so this is something that the culture does. And go to Ephesians chapter number 1. And I want to tell you this. And Ephesians chapter number 1. If what I'm saying is a little bit making sense, say amen.
Amen.
Does that make sense? They're trying to change what God has already set in place. They're trying to redefine things, give a new definition to something that God has already defined. In Ephesians chapter number 1, this is, and we'll go get in here in a second. How many of you ever seen Frozen? I'm just quoting all kinds of movies, right? All right, you seen that? And everybody remember what the big song was? No, it was a snowman song. No, yeah, that's it, yeah. So this is like a big deal like a couple years ago, all right? If you got kids, like, well, I don't like Frozen. Well, you didn't have a daughter. And so they're singing this song, and it's like it's catchy, and all these songs are catchy. But the lyrics are talking about there's no right, no wrong, right? You know, something doesn't matter. I want to be. I can't hold it back anymore. Heaven knows I've tried all these different things. And it's all about this girl. She's like, look, I'm going to do what's right for me. I'm going to do what feels good. Nobody's going to get to tell me what to do. And I'm just trying to tell you, this is what is being pushed. It's all about identity. Now, we would say this. We would say the culture has no right to change or redefine what God has defined. But my question is this. How has God defined you? Let me ask you a question. Who are you? If I was to ask you, who are you? Maybe you would say, this is what I do for a living. What do you do for a living? Carpenter. You're a carpenter? Okay. Maybe you might say, tell me one positive thing about yourself. Go ahead. Don't be, it's okay. You can be proud for a little bit.
Hardworking.
Right? Tell me something that you do. What's a role you play? What are you? You're a wife, right? Wife. No, I'm joking. But anyway, but here's what I'm saying, right? We tend to say, look, are these things that we do? Yeah. Are they things that maybe describe us? Yeah. I'm trying to tell you this. We would say that the culture has no right to define things that God has defined. But what I want to tell you is this. You've got an identity that God has given you. And I'm telling you, what do I mean by identity? How do you get your self-worth? I'm not talking about psychology stuff. We're talking about Bible right now, okay? And just because you haven't read it doesn't mean it's not in there, amen? I know you think you got everything, but some things are, you just might need to learn something new. All of us can, right? I still need to learn, amen? Okay, if you got it figured out, come talk to my secretary after, okay? By the way, I love you, getting a raise. Here's the point. Let me ask you this. Who are you? Can you say, this is me? This is who I am. Who are you? And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you just a few things tonight that I hope will help you understand who you are. Because if you start putting your value in the things that matter the most to you in the wrong place, you are setting your life, your emotions, your marriage, your job. You're setting everything up for a complete failure. And we would say that we can say the culture can't define that. We're quick to say amen. But we are quick to redefine who we are when God has already defined that. So let's look at that. Let's pray real quick and we'll just look at a few verses and then we'll go home. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I pray you'd help me get this thought across. Speak to our hearts. And as only you can, and get this truth across. And I pray that you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be able to, through the Holy Spirit, by faith, know that you live in us, be able to comprehend your love and experience the reality of who you are, that we would know your love that passes all the surface knowledge. And may you just reveal yourself in a different way to us, as only you can, Father. Fill me with your Spirit. Guide and direct my thoughts and help me to go as quickly as possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say this. Number one, who are you not? Number one, you are not how you feel. You're not how you feel. You know, Disney always says, let your heart be your guide. That is terrible. That's a terrible idea. The heart is deceitful above all things, right? It means it's sneaky, sneaky, right? This guy knows what I'm talking about, right? He's, yeah, I'm getting that, right? It'll trick you. Above all things, that's a lot of things. That's even the devil. Deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Right? The Bible says, he that trusteth in his heart's a fool. Proverbs 28:26. And we trust our feelings. You know that? 1 John 3:24. If you don't know it, here's what it says. If our heart condemn us, what can your heart do? Condemn you. God's greater than our hearts and knows all things. What if you feel guilty? Is God greater than your guilt? Absolutely. Listen, you can't go by how you feel. You are not how you feel. The Bible says there's a wisdom that comes. It's not from above. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. It's not talking about sensual, you know, like some dancing. It's talking about senses, feeling in James 3. There is something about your feelings, and you are not how you feel because your feelings change all the time. Let me tell you something. If you're a Bible believer, get this thought. I want you to repeat after me. The Bible trumps my feelings. Say that with me. The Bible trumps my feelings. It doesn't matter how you feel. It does. I'm not trying to be like The Rock here or something. It doesn't matter how you feel. No, here's what Dwayne may be thinking of for some reason, right? Here's what it is. If our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our hearts and knows all things. You know what? You may not feel saved. Does that determine if you're saved or not? No. You might feel a certain way about yourself, but that's not who you are. That might be how you feel, but that's not who you are. You're not how you feel. Number two, let me say this. I'm just going to try to go through this quickly. You're not who other people say you are. Do you remember Jesus asked this question? Who do men say that I am? Right? You remember that? He's there in Caesarea Philippi. He says, gets the disciples together. Who do men say I am? And what did they say? A bunch of nice things. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets. Right? Were they right or wrong? They were wrong. They were nice. They were positive. They were wrong. Listen, people say, who do people say you are? That's not who you are. You got to get that. You are not how other people label you. You say, why? They ain't got the power to define what God's already defined. Your feelings, even though they may feel powerful, do not have the ability to trump what God has already defined. Even if you feel a certain way, the Bible trumps my feelings. Does that make sense? Listen, we talk about be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know what you need to do? You need to understand. I think I said this before here. You know why submarines can go down so low? Because usually if you went down to those depths, you'd be crushed because of the pressure, right? How can they withstand all of the pressure? And do you know how they can go so low? You know why? It's because they're pressurized. The way they can withstand the pressure is that the pressure on the inside has got to be greater than the pressure on the outside. Amen. And the way you're not conformed to the image of this world, but transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, is the pressure on the inside has got to be greater than the pressure on the outside. Amen. You've got to learn to start praising God. And you need to not just learn God's words, you need to learn God's nature. You need to start knowing that God is faithful. That's just who he is. It doesn't matter if you feel like he's faithful or not. He's faithful. He is merciful. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. This is who God is. And we need to start understanding. That's how you get changed. You begin to learn not just God's word, but God's nature. Who is he? And that's how you change. You're not how you feel. You're not what other people say about you. And let me say this one. This is a tough one here. You're not even what you do. What do you do? What do? You work? But what do you do? What is your official title here?
Pastor.
You're a pastor. Is he the pastor?
Yeah.
Do you know what you are before pastor? Yeah, that's true. Touche. Get to me again, old wise one. The hoary hair strikes again. You beat me. I shall return. You know what you are before what you do? You're a child of God. Even before your calling. Even before your marriage. This is part, even before your job. You say, who am I? I'm a salesman. I'm a plumber. No, that's part of what you do, but that's not who you are. That's not who you are. Here's the problem. Here's how people define themselves. Ready? You want some Bible instead of movie illustrations? Here we go. Don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. You're not. Who are you? You are not your intelligence, and you're not your learning disability. Who are you? Don't let the rich man glory in his riches. You are not your net worth. You know why some of you value yourself? This is the problem on any identity outside of what God has given you. See, let me explain this. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Everybody can quote it, right? For by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves. What is it? It's the gift of God, not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. You know how some of you value yourself, how you view yourself? You view yourself by how much money you make. And there's a real big problem with that. You say, why? Let's say you're successful. What's going to happen? You're going to look down on people. Let's say you go see some friends from high school. What are you doing? Everybody feels like they got to, you know, this is what I do. And you haven't reached. Either you're going to look down on people because of your achievement, or you're going to look down on yourself because you haven't reached it. Amen. And here's why our identity is awesome in Jesus Christ. the Christian identity of who we are is not achieved. It's received.
Amen.
It's not achieved. Amen. So you know what that helps you do? It helps you stay humble because you didn't earn it. Read that Ephesians 1. You know what it says you are? It says you're chosen. That's not achieved. That's received. You know what it says? It says we're accepted. What is that? That's not achieved. That's received. You know what it says we are? We're redeemed. We're forgiven. We're sealed until the day of redemption. We are adopted. We are children of God. We weren't born that way. Is that achieved or received? Any identity, what do I mean by that word? Who you are. Anything that's based off of achievement is going to mess you up. Why? Because you're either going to be proud and say, look what I've done. There's a guy I've never read C.S. Lewis, but he quotes C.S. Lewis and he says it this. We're not proud that we've got a lot of money. We're just proud we got more money than the next guy. We're not proud of how smart we are. We're just proud that we're smarter than the other person. And whenever you base who you are, compare it off other people, you got your eyes in the wrong place. And if it's based off of achievement, how you your self-worth, what if you don't reach it? What if you're around a bunch of people who you feel like are... So here's what it is. In Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. Who's your favorite preacher of all time besides Sam Ingram? Because that's not... You can't use that. Pastor Ryman, let me tell you something about Pastor Ryman. You're 100% saved the exact same way. I'm just as saved as Dr. Ruckman. So are you. He has not an ounce more righteousness than I do because I got Jesus's. Amen. You may not like that, but you need to start reading your Bible. Amen. Listen, you know what that means? It's an equal playing field. That means in Christ, guess what? Who are you not? You are not your race. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. In Christ, it's not about your gender because it's neither male nor female. In Christ, it don't matter if you are the boss or the employee, bond or free. Look, the rich and poor, they meet together. The Lord's the maker of them all. You are not how much money in the bank you have or how many possessions you have. You are not even your appearance. You are not a number on the scale. That's not who you are. Do you know who you are in Christ? You are forgiven. You are righteous. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus on the cross. You are a child of God, and your name is written in heaven. That is not achieved. That is 100% received by grace, not achieved by works. And if you live in this performance mentality, you're never going to reach it. And if you reach your own standard, you're going to start looking down on other people.
Amen.
So what Jesus does in him, we can be confident. Because look at all the things that God says I am. But we can be humble because it's not like we earned it. Because you're going to fall on one side or the other. You know who you are? If you're saved, we're all just the same. Ain't nobody better in Christ. Amen. You're not how you feel. You're not what other people say. You're not even what you do. Now those are things that are part of who we are, whether you preach or you... or a husband or a wife or all those things are important, but that's not who you are. Do you get it? Does that make sense? Listen, you are not your bank account. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Can you get that?
Amen.
You can't say, I'm somebody. You're looking at that. This is what people do. This is what I do for a living. If it's achieved, that's not who you are. You got to get that. I hope you get that. I hope the Lord puts that down inside.
Amen.
We're not our success. We're not our failure. Listen, the Lord looks on the outward. He looks on the heart, doesn't he? He doesn't look on the outward appearance. So who are you? Your identity is received by grace, not achieved by works. You're not defined by your failure. You're not defined by your current struggle. You're not defined by other people's labels. You're not what other people think of you. You're not even what's happened to you. I'm not saying you haven't experienced things. They have happened to you, but that's not who you are.
Amen.
Who are you? Well, Ephesians 1 tells us. I'm going to try to make them land this thing and see if it makes sense to you. Ephesians chapter 1 says this. Get some more water. Right there. Ephesians chapter 1. All right, let's move on. Hurry up. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I know I read that fast. Who are you if you're a child of God? Who are you? If you're saved, that means you're a child of God. Yeah, I know that. I know the references. Okay. You know you weren't born that way, right? I had a guy come to our church one time and says, I said, are you saved? He's like, I was born saved. I said, no, you can't be born saved. You got to be born again.
Amen.
Nobody's born saved. Does that make sense? Jesus said, you got to be born again.
Amen.
And if you're trusting in something you've achieved to get to heaven instead of something that's received, then you're not trusting Christ for your salvation.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Some of you are trying to negotiate with God. If you come to church enough times, if you put enough money in the offering plate, if you help out enough people, if you're, you know, good enough spouse, if you're, you know, you do all these things. And listen, none of those things can take away your sin. This is the problem with your identity even being in your denomination. You know, you could be independent, King James, Bible-believing Baptist, and still not even be saved. Because I didn't mention anything about Jesus in that.
Amen.
And some people's identity is more in that than it is in Christ. Because here's the problem. It's not what we do. How do I know? Because when I was in ministry, when I was pastoring the church, too much of who I was based on what I did. Because if church was going good, that's how I'm doing good. Church is going bad, something's got to be wrong with me. And that's the temptation in ministry, is to think if something goes good, that it's achieved.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. You can't save nobody. You didn't die for anybody.
That's right. Amen.
If God bless you, it's not achieved, it's received.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you base your Sunday school class and everything else. Oh, if it went good, whew, I must be right. It went bad. Whew. Now, if you don't pray, that's on you. But what I'm talking about, that's not who you are. Does that make sense? And that's the temptation in ministry. It was temptation in ministry. Here's what it is. For everybody in here who teaches, preaches, let me tell you, there's two things you can do, Michael Shane. You can either walk with God, get up, preach, try to help people, or you can fake it.
Amen.
And that's it.
Yep. Right?
Right?
Yep.
Or fake it. That's got to be, I'd rather just pray. Does that make sense? Some of you in here, you can just come to church and pretend, you know, do all, you can fake it, or you just get saved.
Yeah.
Why not get saved?
Yeah.
Why not just end up in heaven with us?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to fake it and trying to pretend like you're saved.
Yeah.
Why would you do that when you can get the real thing?
Yeah.
Say, I'm just trying to work harder. That's not how you get it. You're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. You can't do nothing. Who can say, I've made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin?
Yeah.
You can't, neither can anybody else.
Right.
Anyway, all right, moving
That's
on.
Good.
All right, who am I? I'm going to try to speed up here. You're a child of God. Let me give you perspective so we can move from a topic and make it personal. Jesse and Kathy, let's imagine this scenario. Let's say God lays on your heart. You say, we want to adopt. And all of a sudden, when you want to adopt, You start going through the process like Marie did. Remember Marie from the church? She adopted a kid from Kazakhstan. It was like 50, 60 some grand, something like that. And so now, you know, stuff's moved up and it's more expensive. And what you do, you hear, you don't know, you don't feel right about it, but you know you're supposed to. You start looking through pictures and all of a sudden you hear this one kid's story. And what you do is you say, that's the one, and we know it. You hear his story, you hear about what happened in his life. You hear about him living in poverty, and here's what you do. You're just like, you know, that's who we want. We're picking him. And so what you do, they're like, do you know how much it is? Yep. And I'm going to pay the price. So you pay the price. And what happens is this kid, not from our perspective, imagine his perspective. As he comes over, his whole identity changes. Everything in his life changes. And you say, I'm going to be your dad. I'm going to be your mom. Right? And how you've done things in your past, the way we do things, it's going to be an awkward transition. But I want you to know how much I love you, because show them the bill of how much you paid. And I chose you to be in my family. And so now you are a Buckland. Let's pray for this kid, okay? No, I'm joking. But you're going to identify with me. And we know, listen, I know you don't feel like you're perfect. We accept you. Your past don't matter. And I've got the papers. It's all signed and sealed. You're one of us for good. That is what happens to us when we get saved. When we get adopted into Jesus Christ, our whole identity changes. Because we're passed from death to life. Does this make sense what I'm saying? We get in God's family and we take on his identity and he accepts us. You're already accepted. You're already forgiven. And guess how much he paid for you? He didn't pay 70 grand for you. No. He didn't pay with a government bailout or EBT. Here's what he paid you for. Here's what he paid for you with. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. I don't think you got that. You see, what are we supposed to glory in? Don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let the rich man glory in his riches. Don't let the strong man glory in his strength. But let him who glories, let him who boasts, boast in this, that he knows and understands me. Amen. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. Amen. You say, how are all those things received? All of them through the cross. Amen. That's how you get them. That's how you get forgiveness, through Jesus paying for you. That's how you get adopted. Does this make sense?
Yep.
This is why you're accepted. It's not based off of performance. It's all received by grace, not by works. And as long as you're trying to work for it, while it's of works, it's no more of grace. It ain't you and Jesus. It's just Jesus doing all the work. All you got to do is repent and stop trusting in your dead works and call on him and ask him to forgive you. And if you're trusted in anything else, in achievement, that's not how you're going to get it. Amen. It's received.
Amen.
By grace, not because we deserve it.
Amen.
Who are you? Let me show you one verse, Acts 17. You're created by God. And I want you, if you're in here, maybe you're a new believer, or maybe you're a backslidden one, or maybe you've been saved for a long time, or maybe you're hurting and going through something, or maybe you're just not a believer at all. I want to show you this. Who are you? You're not how you feel. You're not what you do. How are we supposed to view God? God, there's a lot of titles for him. King, right? What are some other ones? Father, what else? Elohim, Lord, what else? Jehovah, all these different. Which one do we go to first? How do you view them first? There's a bunch of choices. What'd you say? Who said that? Savior, Father. Here's what it is. When Jesus says, when you pray, pray after this manner. Which one's first? Father, who are in heaven, hallowed be. Kingdom, after. What does Paul say in all his epistles? When he finally gets to it, he says, grace be unto you through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Father first, and then you can King, Provider, Protector, all those things. But that's how you view God. You got to start with Father. Amen. You know what that means when God looks at me? God made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you know how righteous my soul is? I have Jesus' righteousness. I don't think you got that. I'm as sinless, my soul is as sinless as Jesus Christ. When he talks about that you would know that, I was like, how, why does he even say that? I thought they were all saved in Ephesians. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. How, I mean, where, let me ask you this, where's Jesus at right now? That's a loaded question. Where is he? He's in you? Where else? He's in you. He's in the right hand of the Father. He's omnipresent. All right, ready for one? You knew? He's in you. You believe that? How long? That's a long time. Let me ask you this. You ever get tired of people, like right now, because I'm going too long? Remember that verse? Withdraw your foot from your neighbor's house. Let's see, be wary of the pastor quote that to me all the time. Some people you just got to take in small doses, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Some people you got to. Let me tell you this. Sometimes I get tired of me. Hey, you guys get tired of me too? There's something that'll blow your mind if you get it. The Lord never gets tired of you. So how do you know? Nothing will separate you from the love of God. Sometimes I want to break from the Lord. I want to veg. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's not right. Pray for me. I know you're spiritual, but sometimes. But the Lord never wants to, because he says, I'm making it so that I can't. I'm going to live inside of you until the day of redemption, and then you're going to live with me forever. That's how much the Lord loves you if you're a believer. He says, I want to be with you everywhere you go. And if you think Jesus is in you, if that became a reality, instead of just a verse you quote real fast, if you understood how much he paid, because he thought you were worth that much, man, that would change you. And we wouldn't be serving because we're worried about what other people think. We'd be serving because we love the Lord, because he's worthy of it. It wouldn't be a chore to get into the book. Somebody said to me the other day, they said, oh, I wish I could go hear Jesus preach 2,000 years ago. I was like, you can hear him preach right now. Yep. This is my sheep, hear my voice. Yep. Now either I'm crazy or he's alive right now. Yep. That's it.
Amen.
He's alive.
Amen.
When he lives in you, if you're saved. Amen. And you're not the worst case he's ever seen. Acts 17, I'm done. Here's what it is. Verse 26. I'll start in verse. Paul said these guys are superstitious and all this stuff. And let's just go to 26. And have made of one blood all nations of men. I know what we think about automatically when we see that, but just keep going. For to dwell on the face of the earth. And what has God determined? The times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Boundaries. Why? But they would seek the Lord. If happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far away from every one of us. Here's what's the point. Who are you? Don't miss this. You're created by God intentionally. Even if your parents thought they had you by accident, you're not an accident because God don't make no accidents.
Amen.
He knows every fiber of your being because he wove the fibers.
Amen.
He gets how you're wired because he connected the wires. And when was the last time some of us, who am I? This is me. Who am I? This is me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah, quote it. He says, I'm going to praise you. Because when you made me wonderful. Now read what it says. When's the last time you ever thanked God for how you look and even your weaknesses? Because God gave you those weaknesses because that helplessness is what makes us actually pray and seek him. Thank God for them. Who are you? There's nobody else like you. There's no voice. The 1 Corinthians 14 says without signification. Job talks about you've got a print on your heel. God wrote in cursive specific. You, there's nobody like you throughout all history. And when God formed you in your mother's womb, you were not accidental. He made you with strengths. He made you with weaknesses. He decided the color of your hair. He knows every, he it says he knew our reins in that verse. That means our emotions, our affections, how we think, how we operate. He understands our thoughts afar off. He knows our habits. He knows, there's not a word in my mouth, oh God, but you know all of them, right? He knows everything about you. And when's the last time, some of you are mad about that. Some of you are mad about the family you were born into. You are. I love my dad. My dad's here. And God put me in the right family. Not perfect. I'm in it. Okay? But I'll tell you this. I'm just going to be real. I'm not going to preach right now. I'm going to be real for a second. I used to get mad at Samson because Samson would tell me stuff. And listen, Samson works hard and everything he's got, he earns. But I'd be like, man, that's easy for you to say. You got connections. You got look how things were for you. Some of you gotta stop comparing, and you know what you gotta start saying. You gotta say, "This is me. This is who I am. This is how God made me. He made you to be you. If He wanted you to be somebody else, He would have made you them." And when you start owning, "This is how God made me. This is where I came from," and this is the place, the boundaries. You know, you could have been anywhere in the world. God's got you here right now. God's got you where you could have been anywhere. God's got you where you are. Not only where you are, but when you are and the times beforehand. You know, you weren't born back in the time of Jesus or David and Goliath or playing dodgeball with Genghis Khan or powdering wigs with Benjamin Franklin and Mike Easter, or whatever, right? You could have been born any time in history. Oh, I wish I was. Nope. Such a time as this. Biden president, such a time as this. In Smyrna, Delaware, such a place as this. Who are you? When you stop saying, if I was this person, and I was born in this family, and I lived during this time, and I was in this place, no, you know what you've got to do tonight? You've got to say, this is me. This is who I am. And that's all you can be. And be cool with that. Because the Bible says this in Romans 9, what shall the thing formed say to him who formed it? Why have you made me thus? Why did you make me this way? What about just saying, God, thank you for my parents. God, thank you for making me. I don't blame you for this stuff. God, thank you for where I am. Thank you for what you've called me to, because you're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Why don't you just say, this is me. This is who I am. And when you start owning that, there's a lot of freedom in that. When you stop comparing, stop thinking you've reached something and you're better, or stop thinking you're the worst thing ever. If you're saved, you're a child of God. Does that make sense? Why don't you just say tonight, this is me. And stop boasting and stop bragging. God forbid that I should glory, but in the cross. Because I can glory in that. Because that's how I've received everything that I got. Everything that can't change. That's how I'm defined. You want to know you want to know your worth to the Lord? Don't ever question God's love by your circumstances. Base it off the cross. Amen. Didn't say God's the love of the world, you never go through problems. He says that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. And he thought you were worth that. You know how long Jesus was on the cross? You know how many of your sins he paid for? And I'm telling you, some of us were just robotic and we've heard it all before and nothing touches us. When God becomes real, when it stops being paper and ink, starts being flesh and blood, and Jesus becomes real to you and he becomes alive and you start realizing he loves you and he lives inside of you. And it's not because you deserve it, it's because he's awesome. Amen. And you start saying, this is me. This is who I am. God's called me here. God's called me for such a time as this. And you start owning that as you are. That's how you become effective. Amen. That make sense? Amen. This is me. This is my identity. My identity is in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.